home of the stars, through the airwaves and on the big screen. Coming to you live from Hollywood, it's Rated G Radio with your host, Garrett Miller.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Rated G Radio. We're in for a great week of programming on the show. Tonight we are going to be joined by blogger, author, man of the world, Mr. Arthur Wooten. He'll be joining us to talk about his website called The Dizzy Traveler and so much more. We'll be bringing Arthur on in just a couple of moments. On Tuesday's show, we've got author Claudia Witsett. She'll be talking to us about her book called Between the Lines. And on sometimes, you know, I do these shows and it's like literary book week or something like that. And that's not usually how I intend to do it, but that's kind of what's happening this week. Wednesday, we have LGBT comic book author, Mr. Greg Fox. He's got a Kyle's Bed and Breakfast series that is out on Amazon. He writes all of these interesting stories with a unique and LGBT flavor to it. We'll just say gay. And he's done these dynamic comics. So we're going to have Greg on the show on Wednesday night. I'm very excited to talk with him. And then Thursday on our official LGBT radio night, we've got my co-host Rob Watson. And we'll be talking to Mr. Greg Archer about his new web series called The You and the Me. And then also Mel England, who not only stars but is producing a new motion picture called Ron and Laura Take Back America. We can't wait for that. And on Friday, a new music guest, and I have not spoken to this artist yet, so it'll be interesting to see what they have to say, because we'll be doing a one-on-one and then playing their music in our number one. The artist's name is called Ida Lee. I think that's the group name, because I know the artist is different than that. So we're gonna have Ida Lee on the Friday night show, so I can't wait for that. So anyhow, tonight's show is all about writing and traveling and eating and doing lots of fun things around the world. And that involves Mr. Arthur Wooten with thedizzytraveler.com. You can go and visit that, of course, after the show. I don't want you to get occupied with something else while we've got a fascinating guest on the line. So Arthur, for the first time ever, hopefully you'll be back for lots of other opportunities, but welcome to the show. How are you?
Garrett, it's a pleasure to be on your show. And let me just say right away, I'm so excited to hear that Greg Archer is coming on the show, because he and I are great friends. And
Everybody in the world knows Greg?
Well, that's because he's popular. He's real popular.
Well, there's that.
My first novel was published, he gave me the best quote, and I'm just using it all the time. He said, if David Sedaris and Armistead Maupin had a love child, it would be Arthur Wooten. And
wow.
I'm so grateful to him for that quote. And we've been great friends since. And he's actually the reason that I transitioned into not only being an author and a playwright, but also being a travel blogger. It's his fault.
Get out of town. I love
that. And that's exactly what it was. He was out of town. He was in my town, New York City, and he was staying at a very posh hotel. And I just happened to ask. I said, you know, how many nights are you staying there? And he said, well, I'm staying here one night, but it's free. And I said, what do you mean it's free? He said, well, you know, I cover, you know, hotels. I cover books. I cover shows. And the hotel offered free accommodations in exchange for me blabbering about how wonderful it was to stay there. And I thought, hey, wait a minute, I could do something like that. And
right?
Shortly after that, the Dizzy Traveler was born. So it's all Greg's fault.
It's all Greg's fault. Well, for longtime listeners of the show, they know that Greg has been a regular contributor here on Rated G Radio as the pop culture expert, and he did that for about a year, and then he called me up one day and says, Garrett, I have to have a talk. And I always know what that means. If I've got a regular guest and they say, we need to have a talk, it means they don't want to do the show anymore. He goes, Garrett, we need to have a talk. And so I said, you don't want to do the show anymore? And he goes, how do you know? And I said, I'm psychic that way. I just know. And I said, what are you going to do instead? Why are you leaving me? He goes, I've got to go write this book called Grace Revealed. It's about my family's journey out of Poland during Nazi-occupied World War II, and he went through this, and I said, well, why are you talking to me? Get off the phone and go write your book. You have to do this.
So that was an incredible journey for him.
Oh my gosh. I mean, can you imagine, you know, going through or reliving that with, you know, your family that still, you know, has that fresh in their head, even though it's, you know, 50 years ago. What an incredible story.
Yeah. You know, it's like watching Finding Your Roots on PBS or the show that Lisa Kudrow also produced.
Oh, yeah. Who do you think you are?
And I know I'm one of those people that if anyone really kind of traced me, I'm sure we would be like thugs and thieves and and we probably did awful things to humanity, you know, and maybe, you know, probably a few of my sisters and brothers were married or that's my fear of finding out our family tree. So
the spooky family tree, you know, because on Lisa's show, it looks really glamorous on Who Do You Think You Are? And I'm a big fan of it. And it was on NBC for a year or two. And then it was on one of the NBC, you know, cable shows. And I think it might be coming to the internet in some different capacity. I thought it was great. And I think the people that they had on were interesting in their own right. And of course that's what, you know, sells the show. But the journeys that they take on the flip side of that, Arthur, you know, while that show is great, I see the people that are on, you know, what's the service that you go and figure out, you know, the
Ancestry.com.
And I see the people on there saying, well, I didn't have a leaf here, but then I pressed this button and then I've got all these leaves. I think the self-discovery of that would just drive me crazy. If I have to do research, I probably can, but that would send me over the edge. I would like somebody to take me and to say, okay, we're going to go on a plane and you're going to go get to have scones with somebody here and you're going to go do this. And then, you know, at the end of this, we're going to do a nice little, you know, 60-minute video package with you and you can watch it and find out really what's going on. That would be more my speed.
Well, also, when you do Ancestry.com on your own, which I have done, I've dabbled in that a little, there are people posting things that are inaccurate. And I don't think they have a good enough way of filtering through, vetting, and finding out what is true and what's not, because it can really lead you in the wrong direction. And here I saw that on my father's side, we arrived here around 1730 from Wales, and I was telling everyone we're Welsh, and you know, it's so exciting, and I have to go to Wales now and find my roots. On my mother's side, we're Scottish and Irish, and my mother always said, just don't tell anyone we're Irish, okay? And I said, you should be proud.
What's wrong with being Irish?
Well, I think she thinks everyone thinks we're drunks, which
maybe,
but and we're going to talk about martinis in a second,
yes,
right?
Yes, we are.
But what I found out with my Ancestry.com was that my father's family was not from Wales. We did that genome test that they do on Finding Your Roots and tracing from the first mother that we all had in Africa. Our tribe of people migrated north like everyone did, and you basically get to what is now Iran, and you either take a right to Asia or you take a left to Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And we took a left, and we ended up in Spain, and we waited for the Ice Age to recede, and then we marched our way up into Great Britain, and ultimately all of my people are from Ireland on my father's side. So I'm Irish. I'm Irish. I'm like three-quarters Irish.
Congratulations.
I'm really proud of it.
I love how you tell that story. You could spin that for anybody and make that interesting.
Oh, okay. I'll have to remember what I said. I'll have to listen to the show.
You'll have to go back and listen to the rebroadcast. There we go.
Yes.
But, you know, if you say, started the same mother, and then here we go. I love that version.
Right. Yeah. Well, my grandfather, who he lived with us, Granny and Papa lived with us all during my childhood. I grew up in Andover, Massachusetts, and we were lucky enough to have a beautiful home built in 1716, and we had a pool house that actually had three bedrooms and a pool that was Olympic size. It was one of those monstrosities that was built in the 20s, and Papa came over in 1920, and this is what I found out from Ancestry.com. He came in through Halifax, and then down through Montreal, crossed the border into the States, up around Niagara Falls, and he was brought into the country to be a professional soccer player in 1920. It was super big then, and big corporations were the sponsors.
Wow.
So just recently, it's so exciting, I found this footage, the only footage I've ever seen of my grandfather as a professional soccer player, online. I don't know how I discovered it. And it's great because my niece, who had never met him, got to see him for the first time. And the footage was from, like, 1923. And there he was.
I hope you have a copy of that now.
Yeah. I've got to find it. It's somewhere, you know, in the Ethernet, there's everything in that cloud. Now, let's talk about cocktails.
Let's talk about cocktails. I love cocktails. Now, I will tell everybody, I don't drink any longer, and I celebrated my third anniversary back in January. But I have no problem with anybody who likes cocktails. I love talking about them. And, you know, even tonight on the premiere that I'm going to for Child of the 70s in Los Angeles at Pump Restaurant. So if anybody's, you know, this is Monday night, it's live radio. If you want to run down to Pump and hang out with all the stars, it's sponsored by Quality Vodka. So, you know, I'm a big fan. I just don't do it. It ran its course for me and its usefulness ran out. But I love the good cocktail. So what's your favorite, Arthur?
Well, it used to be on the cover of my second novel, which is called Fruit Cocktail, is a martini glass filled with Maker's Mark bourbon. And I used to love Manhattan. Yeah. It's strong. I actually can't drink them anymore. And it's more of a wintry drink. It's very warming. So
yeah.
I have a tremendous talent, which is also on the cover of that novel. And there's a cherry in the Manhattan, the drink. And the stem is sitting on the table next to the glass, and it's, of course, tied in a knot. But it's not just that I can do that. It's how quickly I can do it. And there's actually a very, hopefully, funny scene in the book where the lead character is kind of showing off, and he's pretty good at it. But after
okay,
you have
Arthur,
a couple of Manhattan.
Now, here's the question. How did you get to be good at tying cherry stems into a knot with your tongue? What kind of a training program do you go through?
Well, because I was born gay, so it certainly isn't because, well, you can think about that. I don't know. I'm very ambidextrous. I don't know if that's the appropriate phrase for this, but
I've never known anybody that had an ambidextrous tongue, so that's quite an accomplishment.
Well, I can tie them left-handed tongue-wise or right-handed, right tongue, left tongue.
I'm fascinated by that.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a contest to see how many you could do in a row?
No, but I have had contests to see how quickly I can do it. And it's usually, you know, you're at a bar. It's a great way to meet people at a bar. And, well, if they, you know, take their faces out of their cell phones and stuff. I went to a bar recently. I hadn't been in ages. And I had an appointment downtown. It was around cocktail hour. So I went into a local bar. And there was a big oval bar in the front. And it was already kind of dark in there. And but there was the light from all these cell phones and maybe 40 guys are sitting all around the oval bar with their faces in their phones. And I'm sitting there at the bar and I order a drink and I look around and I'm like, hello, I'm over here. So I look at the guy next to me. He's sitting that closely and I can see that he's on Grindr.
Uh-huh.
They were all emailing each other across the bar. And I felt like shouting, why don't you just get up and walk over and shake his hand?
Right.
I mean, it's a bizarre phenomenon. Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah. And the good thing about meeting in person is, and I bring this up also because the first two novels is all about gay dating, which is universal, whether you're gay, straight, bi, whatever, dates are dates. And dates from hell in particular are universal. But it's, you know, when you meet someone in person, you know instantly if there's chemistry.
Absolutely.
And you don't know if you like them. You don't know
if
you want to learn more about them, but you can tell if there's chemistry or if there's not. And unfortunately, I think with you know, chat rooms and, I guess, things online, especially if you leave too much time before you meet in person, it's too easy to build up anticipation and hope, and you start projecting and fantasizing, and it can screw everything up by the time you meet. But
so,
meet the old-fashioned way, and yes.
It's, well, I was going to say, is it what's your recommendation on the acceptable time before meeting if you've met somebody on an online app? 20
like
minutes?
Dwyer.
Or is it, you know, a week?
No, I'm not a quickie. I never was, even before when I was younger and we'd go out, and I like to date. I don't, excuse me.
Do you kiss on the first date?
Of course, of course.
Okay.
And I know this is G-rated radio, but...
well, it's G for Garrett. It's not G because you can't swear. I don't swear. It sounds like I've got Tourette's. You know, I never stop. All I do is F, so I don't swear.
Well, I'm not the type of person that has to have a booty call.
Okay.
I have to know someone. I have to like them. Maybe that sounds old-fashioned. But that's also very much like the character, the lead character in both On Picking Fruit and Fruit Cocktail. You know, he's a romantic at heart, and he doesn't need or want to just jump into bed with somebody for the sake of jumping in bed. So how much time do I think? I think it's whatever feels comfortable, but I just wish, especially, you know, if you're going into a bar and maybe you want to talk to some people, that they would shut off their phones. I mean, that's kind of annoying.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
Do you have a no phone policy or an upside down phone policy when you go out to dinner, even with like friends?
Yeah. I won't answer it. Actually, when I'm home and I'm making dinner, I'm in the process of having dinner, I'm relaxing after dinner, if I'm watching a movie or television or reading or whatever, I will not answer my phone. There are very specific chunks of time. In fact, it wasn't until recently that I learned my cell phone number. My friends don't have it until I call them, and then they see it. But I don't give it out because I don't want them calling me.
Right.
I mean, they can.
So, okay.
They can. Yes.
No, it's just like we are so joined at the hip because I think I've turned in. I sometimes I feel like I'm the 90-year-old, you know, cranky neighbor. Get off my lawn.
Get off my phone.
I was having a conversation yesterday with a lady and somebody were talking about a particular situation. I said, well, you know, I don't talk on the phone. You know, if I'm talking on the phone, it's because you're bleeding out the eyeballs or a major something is going on or you're a paying client. And then you know, we'll be on the phone whenever you want. But if it's a matter of just, you know, sitting here and chit-chatting, instead I do that on the show, and that's my social hour for the day, and I'm done. So, you know, I don't talk, so I don't know why they're upset that I'm not picking up the phone, you know? I've liked their stuff on Facebook. Isn't that good enough?
Well, you know, I also really dislike talking on my cell phone. I hate the way it feels. I hate the way it sounds. I still have a princess landline phone that I will hold on to. But it's in beige, not pink.
Okay.
I will hold on to that landline until they rip it out of my hands. And
yeah.
I'm paying so much more money to have both a cell service and a landline. But for me, it's worth it. I if someone happens to call me on my cell and it's important, I'll say, let me call you right back on the landline.
Right.
And we all have friends who I have friends that always call me from L.A. when they're stuck in traffic.
Oh, yeah.
So... And for some reason, there always seems to be bad reception when they're in those scenarios. And I have one dear friend who has a bad habit of, maybe it's a two-day beard, and maybe it's a kind of microphone that's on the ear plug, and
right.
It's hitting his beard the whole time. It sounds like, on my end, it sounds like someone's, you know, ripping up the street with a gravel
oh, yeah.
Digger upper, whatever it is. But, I also, like microwaves, I fear cell phones. I really do think they probably will give you cancer or something. When I used to have a microwave and I got rid of it, just like having an X-ray at the doctor's, I'd run into the other room after I turned it on just because I didn't want to get, you know, blasted by radiation, which is kind of silly. But
No,
now,
I've
heard, and I congratulate you on your 3 years of not drinking. I think that's fabulous. But you have to tell me what a black martini is.
Absolutely. Okay, so my favorite drink of all time. Now, this goes back so many years. I used to live in Phoenix, okay? There was this bar in 7th Street and Indian School, or around between Indian School and Thomas. For anybody who's listening in Phoenix, you'll probably remember the reference unless you're 12. And if that's the case, you shouldn't be listening to this. You should be doing your homework and then going to bed. But for everybody else, there was a restaurant in Phoenix called Pookie's. And Pookie's was owned by this guy that I have no idea how he came up with the concept of the restaurant, but it was like going back to Miami in the early 80s. Think Don Johnson, Miami Vice, you know, pink and blue, you know, fluorescent, that type of thing. And the restaurant was decorated accordingly. Well, there's a bartender there, and, you know, I used to drink a lot. And so it wasn't just like I'd have one and be done. It'd be like, okay, you know, get them lined up because they're coming. And we're not talking, you know, Michelob Ultralight 64. So he said one time, do you want to try a black martini? And I said, oh, that doesn't sound good at all. He says, well, just try it. It'll be like candy. Well, who doesn't like candy? So Arthur, he made me this black martini. And it's raspberry vodka, Chambord with a twist of lemon. And
but where does the black come in? Does it turn black?
It's a black color. It's a deep, 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 deep purple, like an eggplant. It's very,
yeah,
very dark.
Right.
And so you take a sip of this, you know, and if you don't like the taste of alcohol, for those of you who do enjoy a good martini or a good drink, this would be the drink for you. Because you take the sip of it and you don't go, and feel
right.
Like
it's not like fire water.
It's not like fire water.
You
take the sip
and
go like, ooh, this is really good. Now, here's the general rule of thumb. One black martini is great. Two is your limit. Three and beyond, you're going to need video surveillance of what took place after the fact. So
that's like me with tequila. I mean, I have one margarita and my clothes are off no matter where I am.
Wow.
I can't.
And how big of a margarita does that have to be? 64 ounce? Or are we talking a regular size?
No. It doesn't have to be that much. It's the way my body reacts to tequila. Now, my preferred drink now is a very, very dry vodka martini up. And
do you like martinis dirty?
Sometimes. Not too dirty.
Okay.
But in the summer, if it's super cold, the vodka. But I also cannot drink gin. I just smell gin and I'm drunk.
Oh.
Yeah, I can't do it.
I don't. Yeah, don't like. I and to be fair, I've tried everything. So I will tell you, you know, the drinks. I can't do tequila because things happen and I black out.
Right.
I had to stop doing the vodka because I do things and I black out. But the gin, I can just smell it and go like, whoa. And trust me, I'd be like, I really want to drink this because you know. So-and-so drinks gin and tonic, or so-and-so does this. And I would take the sip of it and be like, ooh, I just can't do this. Couldn't ever drink
it. I think it's because, personally for me, it was the first alcohol I ever had. And I remember that Robbie Robertson, who was a neighbor, and I, when we were in eighth grade, we raided my mother's liquor cabinet, and we took the first bottle we found, and it was a fifth of gin. And we took a quart of Fresca.
Oh.
And we went on the back stone wall, and we drank both of them completely.
Oh, man.
And I don't know if it's because I never had been drunk before. I had to have been drunk. I was certainly sick the next day, but I didn't get drunk. And I truly think that's because my body couldn't register at all. But to this day, I cannot even smell gin without getting sick, which is fine. I'm doing fine with vodka.
Yeah. It's good. You know, you know what works. I think that's
the important thing. Well, now, what day is Greg going to be on? Because
he's going to be on this Thursday.
And, oh, excellent.
Yeah.
I'll tune in.
He'll be on our rated LGBT radio Thursday, so that will be fun. So looking forward to it. Because, you know, when Greg comes on, you know, because we've done promo for the book, we've done the pop culture stuff. Now it's just an honor to have him. And we're going to talk about this Thursday, but apparently we were trading telephone calls and IMs on Facebook this past week, and we just never got connected. But apparently he's taken a new job in Palm Springs in some type of editorial position. So I'll be excited to hear what he's doing next. Yeah.
And his new web series, I saw the first episode. It's fabulous.
It's cute.
It's wonderful.
Yeah,
it really is. I'm eager to see where they go with it. It's I commend him. I mean, he's like a little pioneer out there.
You know, the thing that I like about Greg is that, you know, it probably after his time in New York is when, you know, I met him. I met him because he wrote that book, Shut Up, Skinny Bitches. It's about a book on right. body imaging and, you know, just life in general. And so I wrote him a note. I said, would you be a guest on my show? And this goes back probably 4 years now. And so he came on the show. And after the show, it was like, I want to be your friend. I'm kind of a geek that way. It's like, oh my God, Arthur's been on the show. I hope he'll be my friend. And so, you know, that's kind of how Greg was my friend. And so I was up in Northern California one time for business and he says, well, let's go grab a bite to eat. And we sat and talked for probably like 2.5 hours until the restaurant was like, you need to leave because, you know, the rest of us want to go home. And we're just sitting there having a great conversation. So he's a good man, but we've got like 5 more minutes with you, Arthur, and then we're going to go to commercial and you've got to go off, you know, Lifestyles and the Rich and Famous in New York City. And we haven't even really scratched the surface of all of the writing you've done. We've talked just briefly about a couple of your books. And on the show page, of course, there's a link to go buy your books on Amazon. I'm a big proponent of supporting any of the people that we have on the show in their art, whether it's music, books, whatever the case is. So go click the Buy It Now button right here on the show page. It says here. And go check out Arthur's books. But Arthur, can you kind of give us a rundown of the books? And because, by the way, you're committed to having to come back on the show many, many more times. So if we didn't scratch the surface today, we'll scratch later on. But tell us about the books that you have that are out there right now, because I know that is not really the focus of what you're working on presently. So I'm always thrilled right. where the, you know, journey is taking you. But where did you come from as an author?
My first work started back in the 90s, actually, as a playwright. And there was a lot of hoopla about one play in particular called Birthday Pie. And before it was even published or produced, it was optioned as a feature film and as a television series. At the same time, I had just written a children's book, which later on came out, called Wise Bear William, A New Beginning, which was illustrated by Bud Santora. And that simultaneously was optioned as an animated musical feature and as a television show. So it started way back then, but my first novel was On Picking Fruit, and it's basically about a gay man on a quest to find the love of his life. And his search for love runs up against bad luck, bad boys, bad advice, especially from his irreverent mother and his best friend and his unorthodox shrink. That's been optioned as a TV series. So I actually published that book on my own in 2005, which was way before people were doing this. I mean, it was still looked upon as vanity productions if you did that. But I thought, no one was nibbling. I'm going to do it myself. And within 6 months, I got an email from Allison Books, which, as you probably know, is one of the boutique gay publishing companies, and they said who they were, and they asked me if I was doing this on my own, and I said yes, and they said, well, we would like to republish On Picking Fruit. The contingency is you have to write a sequel. So for Allison Books, I wrote Fruit Cocktail, which is the continued journey that this character goes on looking for the love of his life. And after that, there was a book that I did. I'm obsessed with mid-century, maybe because I was born mid-century, I don't know. But I love Tupperware, and I came up with this idea to write a romantic comedy, a novel about empowering women. And it's in 1954, a divorced and destitute suburban housewife finds self-esteem, financial security, and true love selling Tupperware. And that's also been optioned as a film. For a while, it was optioned by Nicole Kidman, which it's so funny because Tupperware has been on board with me with this from the beginning, and all of a sudden, Nicole had to back out. And they came to me, and they said, it's for the best. She's too old for the part, which in truth, she is or was. Then there's Birthday Pie, the play that I first initially wrote, and then I novelized it. And that's actually my best seller. That's about a New York City writer who goes home to celebrate his birthday and say goodbye to his dying father, and he struggles with whether or not to share with his eccentric Southern family news of his own life-threatening situation. And this, this is kind of my love letter to my family. It originally was picked as the winner of the Key West Theater Festival, and it had its premiere down at the Waterfront Playhouse in a wonderful, beautiful production, full-scale production. And my mother was so funny opening night at the party. She was so proud and everything, and the reviews were terrific. And she turned to some reporter and she said, "Well, he's trashed this family." I said, "Ma, you can't talk like that. You can't." She said, "Well, you did." And I said, "It's not us. It's not us. It's all made up." She said, Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So the most recent novel I have, there's 7 books altogether, but the most recent one is called Dizzy. And that's my fictional memoir. And I say fictional in that it's my story, but it's told through the voice of someone else. It's told through the voice of a Broadway female megastar. And she's like a triple threat. She can sing, she can dance, she can act. She's at the height of her career. And this really frightening thing happens to her. She wakes up and her life is completely changed. It's like she's lost all sense of balance. She feels internally drunk, stinking drunk all the time. And then something happens to her eyes where they don't track. They hold on to objects and then they jump around like a bad indie film, like a handheld camera, a shaky one. And this all happened to me one day. And it's called bilateral vestibular disease with oscillopsia, which sounds like...
How long did it take for you to be able to say that?
Or to spell it. But it sounds like venereal disease for a small toy dog or something. Oscillopsia. But it never went away. So I live my life very dizzy. And so the name of the novel is Dizzy. And then that's what I also used for my traveling blog, because there are thousands of people out there with my condition that I hope I can inspire them to have the courage to keep going out into the world. You have to be careful, and you know tricks of the trade, and in the sense that what triggers off spells, we get vertigo, we out of nowhere we'll lose our balance, either front, back, sideways. And sometimes just taking a step, for me, most of the time, every step is like bouncing on a frickin' trampoline. It never stops. But Mother Nature's kind in a way, because this happened to me in 2005.
Holy cow, so you've had this a while.
Yeah, and I don't remember what it's like not to have it, except for when I dream at night. In my dreams, I can still be normal, so I love dreaming. But Mother Nature's being kind. I don't remember what it's like not to have it. So you actually, I knew I was getting better. It took about 3 or 4 years, and I'm a tough cookie, but I knew I was getting better when a couple of weeks went by, and I said, I didn't cry lately.
Because
it's so crazy. I mean, I can't go to like movies anymore. I can't go into the movies to see a big screen because my brain thinks I'm in it, and I walk out and I can't. I'll fall over. I'll just tip right over.
Wow.
So, and it's not, this isn't a sob story or anything, but I actually turned it into, all right, listen, if I have this thing, maybe I can help and inspire other people who have it. And ironically, I've discovered when I do trips like on cruise ships, or even more recently when I was in Venice last September, when I'm on the water, the problem goes away. And I think it's because the way you swell up and down on a boat mimics the sensation I feel inside. I feel like I'm always standing in a rowboat in the middle of the sea during a storm. And if you're in that storm physically, literally, it cancels it out. Everyone on ship is like looking like they're walking down the hallway like they were drunk, and I'm walking a straight line. I said, I think I should get a job on a ship. This is where I should be living.
We can call you Julie the cruise director.
Actually, I love cruising. I never thought I would, but I really do. So that's the whole deal with the books, and I'm focusing more now on the screenplays. Like I mentioned, almost every one of those properties is under option now, and I'm more comfortable writing screenplays, and I enjoy it more. But I'm sure a few more novels will come out of me.
I would hope so. This is Arthur. You know, again, because we're on a time schedule here, because I know you've got other stuff to do. I need to have you back because now I need to know more about everything. Because seriously, I didn't even get to question one on my little list because I wanted to be prepared. Because it's, you know, Arthur Wooten. He's going to be on the show. So,
well, I would love to come back.
Yeah. So we'll just have to schedule you back for another date and time.
This
will be
the
like
appetizer.
The teaser.
Yeah, the appetizer.
The appetizer. I like. So okay, before you go, what's your favorite appetizer?
There's a tapas restaurant up the street that has the most brilliant date bacon wrapped dates with goat cheese inside of the dates.
Man.
And they're broiled. And those, I love that. I really loved before small plates became popular, I was always doing appetizer crawls. You know, I'd go from restaurant to restaurant, just have an appetizer with friends, and I much prefer that over, you know, a huge entree. But their bacon-wrapped dates with goat cheese are brilliant. Yeah.
Okay. You know, Arthur, you're clearly the person I need to hang out with in New York. So next time I come, we're going to be BFFs, and we're going to go to all these places. And
Please.
Before that, you're going to have to come on and talk about all of these wonderful places we're going to go.
Okay. I'd love to come back.
Right on. So everybody, we're going to do a little short break with It Matters Radio. I'm going to have a shameless plug for my album, Blonde Jesus, and we'll hear from Rainbow Brew. We'll be back in about 3 minutes. So if you need to go, you know, get a refill on your cup of coffee or tea or whatever adult beverage you're drinking.
Or a black martini.
Or a black martini. Just crank up the volume and we'll be right back.
Welcome to our discussion of It Matters Radio. Our guest today is Angus McWilliams.
Hey, laddie, let's get on with this thing. I'm on my way to a birthday party for Nessie.
You're throwing a birthday party for the Loch Ness Monster?
Well, first of all, it's not a monster. And second of all, I'm talking about niece Nessie. She's a wee bit of a lovely lass.
I see. Well, okay. Angus, can you give us your thoughts on It Matters Radio?
Hey, wonderful people. They had me on the wild back to talk about my book.
Your what?
My book. I wrote a book about the adventures in Scotland.
Oh, I see. A book.
That's what I just said. What are you, a duff man?
It Matters Radio focuses on discovering new talent and bringing important indie artists on the air. Monica, Kenneth, and Carrie offer up meaningful conversation on new music, books, and fun topics. It's unlike any other radio program known to man and woman alike.
You can say that again.
Known to man and woman alike.
Just because I said you can say it again doesn't mean you have to say it again.
I'm just doing my best to show everyone that It Matters Radio basically brings variety, fun, and entertainment with a sincere desire to discover new topics and talent.
Why didn't you just say that?
I just did.
Hey, laddie, remind me when I can listen.
It Matters Radio is on every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific.
You Americans with your different time zones. We only have one time zone in Scotland.
And that would be...
That would be the time to down a pint or two of ale.
It Matters Radio, for the best in conversation, music, books, and entertainment. Join us Thursday evenings at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific. Discover the depth, diversity, meaningfulness, caring, guest-focused, friendly, enjoyable atmosphere of It Matters Radio with Ken, Monica, and Carrie.
Well, that's a mouthful if I have a hard one.
Yes, and I'm going to go brush my teeth now. It Matters Radio.
Hey everybody, it's Garrett Miller. Check out my brand new album, Blonde Jesus, voted number one rock electronica, and the hit single, Gay Wedding.
It's a nice day for a gay wedding.
Your copy today at GarrettMiller.com.
When it comes to coffee, freshness is queen. That's why Rainbow Brew believes you should have the freshest coffee, roasted to order in small batches and delivered to your door within a couple days. Whether you're purchasing for a coffee shop, restaurant, or home, Rainbow Brew is your one-stop shop for fair trade and organic coffee. Offering many unique blends, including AM 950's own Blue State blend. That's Rainbow Brew, the Queen Bean, a proud sponsor of the Morning Grind. Online at rainbowbrew.com. Brew something good today.
So I want to thank Mr. Arthur Wooten out of New York City for coming on the show. And like I was telling him right after we went to the break, I said, Arthur, I wrote down like 50 questions that I could ask you, and I didn't even get to any of them on my list. I mean, even the basics. So we'll have to have Arthur back. I'm thinking we'll probably have him back either late June or in July, because those are the first opportunities to book guests for slots at this point. But I said, I need you for the full hour because we didn't even get started on the chat fest here. So Arthur Wooten, best-selling author. The link for his books are on the show link right there. Just go to Amazon and click the link, and magically you can buy all of his books. You can also go to thedizzytraveler.com and read all about Arthur's adventures around the world. So with that, last night was Oscar night. Are you surprised at any of the winners or any of the losers or any of the speeches? I would love to ping me on Facebook and let me know what you thought of the awards presentation. So there's always surprises. So we'll talk about that on another show. I will tell you that over the weekend, I had the opportunity to go see CBTCandle.com. CBTCandle.com. Scott Travis, he is the owner of that company, and it stands for Candles by Travis. If you don't know Scott, you should. He makes celebrity-scented essential oil candles. And so this is my little promo for Scott, because he invited me to go to one of – why you need more than one, I don't know. But one of the Oscar gifting suites where celebrities of various levels, you know, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P, they are invited to attend these Oscar gifting suites where they – graciously and gladly pose for pictures, and they go around and talk to all the different vendors who have paid a lot of money to be there to give away a lot of free product. And I was asked to be a photographer. So, you know me, I love going to take pictures of folks, and so that's what I did. So I raced up to the American Legion Hall up in Hollywood on Saturday morning to meet Scott and photograph him with, you know, the various celebrities and get a chance to do some meet and greets. And it's always interesting to see people when they meet celebrities. And I'm going to say that the pot's calling the kettle black, because there's a few that, you know, I go, oh my gosh, it's so-and-so, I'd love to get a picture. But these vendors come from all around the country, and some of them from around the world, to have the opportunity to pose for pictures and get a little product placement with the various celebrities. So probably during the course of the 4 hours, we probably had 100, 125, 130 different, quote unquote, and I say that liberally, quote unquote, celebrities come and be part of the celebrity gifting event at this Oscar suite. So here's what I find interesting, because I always think everybody should be out there to make a buck and free enterprise and all of the good stuff, you know? So last year I was invited by friends who did the Emmy gifting suite, and I went and did pictures for them and took pictures of them with the stars and all of that. And at the end of that, I kept thinking, what is it that they're going to be getting out of this? Because, you know, here's the deal. This is me with my jaded hat on. So for anybody out there who has, you know, all these magical, perceptions of what takes place in Hollywood, this is the show where you probably want to turn your show to a different station or go listen to something else, because I'm going to be the business pragmatist here. So these vendors have paid a lot of money to go to these events, you know, to give away a lot of free product. Usually in the, you know, if your unit per unit is, you know, anywhere from 50 cents to, you know, $50, you're giving away hundreds of items at that particular event. So, you know, you've got a substantial cash outlay to make all of this happen. And if you come from other parts of the country, you've also got airfare, travel, meals, lodging, entertainment, and things like that while you're waiting to go to your event suite. And when you do, it's just got like going to a trade show. If you've ever gone to a trade show, you know, you sit up there with your banner And, you know, you promote your product and, you know, you hope that, that people will buy your product and go and buy lots more for their companies. But with celebrities, you know, they come by and these celebrity gifting suites, they have staff on hand to come around and carry what is like this gigantic. So if you've ever gone to IKEA and you've got one of those giant IKEA bags and then you carry it around in IKEA and fill it up, it's kind of like two or three of those as far as size go, but just one bag. And then they go around from booth to booth, ask, you know, very nicely, oh, tell me about your product. What do you do? And they act interested, and they might be, but, you know, they're actors. So they all appear interested in what you're doing. And then they go to the next booth and the next booth, the next booth. And at the end of the day, they have this huge bounty of swag that they are taking home with them all for free. And I believe that they also are paid to be there. But the rub for the people is usually, oh, I got to have a picture with so-and-so and I got to have it. And that's really cool. But if that's the only thing that you are getting out of it, I'm always kind of shocked because if, you know, you're spending all of that money to get a celebrity picture, you could just Photoshop it for, you know, a dollar or something like that and you'd be fine. But I met three vendors on Saturday who, and they didn't know each other, so it wasn't like they're all in cahoots, but they all told me the exact same story. And this was what I really appreciated over the course of that afternoon, because these were three businesses that know how to use the publicity to their advantage. So you think that, you know, you're going to go take your pictures with, you know, celebrity so-and-so, and then you can post it on Facebook. And that's all great. You know, I love it. I've posted pictures already over the weekend for the five or six people that I was like, oh my gosh, this is so cool. But they're like, okay, fine. I'll smile for the camera. Here we go. These people had come in. Well, these particular vendors had come in from Vancouver, Canada, and they one was a like an infant teething ring that was made out of all, you know, GMO free, super duper healthy, all that. So if, you know, whatever becomes ingested, you're not going to have any issues. They've won awards. It's a big deal. There's another catering company that flew in from Vancouver, Canada, and they brought edible treats. There's another one that had a like a hat. You know, I'm not sure why that was going to be the big thing, but they were out by the time the event was over. But each of them said, we're here because even though when we're here, it's totally not glamorous, and all we do is stand here and wait for them to come and do our little, you know, minute and a half, you know, chit chat with them and hopefully get a good picture. It's when we go back home and we post these to social media, and then, you know, our customers like it, and then, you know, their friends like it, and their friends like it, and their friends like it. So that's where we get the business, because all of them said, you know, we don't get business from these celebrities. It's not like they go and buy, you know, this product or that product, or, you know, because they're coming home with 100 or more vendors worth of products in their swag bag. And so it's not like they're going to go, okay, let's go out and spend, you know, we need to, you know, go out and thank company XYZ and then company ABC and company this, you know, for their generous gift of whatever. I just don't think that happens. It might, but I'll be surprised, because they're usually wrapped up in whatever it is they're wrapped up in. Who can blame them? They took an hour out of their day to come get free stuff. They've got other stuff to do. I had one celebrity say that, you know, well, you know, I'm glad we came because I was getting my rear end whooped on the golf course and I needed to get off there because I was losing too much money. And I said, so this is a good break and you'll go back later. And he goes, oh yeah. So he's here to collect and then go back and play more golf. So it's the fact that, you know, these vendors, clients and friends of theirs and so on saw that. And that gives the indirect perception that, you know, oh my gosh, you know, we're hobnobbing with celebrities in Hollywood and we hang out and, you know, we go do things together and we shop on Rodeo Drive and we go and eat tapas plates at, you know, whichever restaurant. That just doesn't happen. Anyway, it was fun, but it was absolutely crazy. The CBT candle booth, cbtcandle.com, they make essential oil candles for celebrity clients. They've got celebrity lines. So if you are looking to do an event, you know, the spiel was, and I love this because it totally makes sense. You know, if you're an actor or somebody involved with a production and you're going to be wrapping up a season or wrapping up a movie or wrapping up a whatever, it is customary that you do gifts for the people who are on your crew and the other cast members. You know, you hear stories of people, you know, like the big stars in billion-dollar movies, you know, they're buying everybody Rolexes or buying everybody really expensive this or that. But wouldn't it be cool if you're going to have a cast wrap party that you have a CBT candle that your
lighting in the area that you're going to be, you know, having your celebration at, and it envelops the room with a great scent that, you know, that you have custom picked out with Scott, and then he works with you on that. And then as a parting gift for everybody who's there, you give them a little CBT candle to take home with that scent on it, with your name on it. And that's your, you know, it's the, you know, celebrity ABC candle line. That's what Scott does. And so he makes these amazing smelling candles, custom lines, custom fragrances that no two smell the same. So you don't have to worry about, well, that smelled like the candle Gwyneth Paltrow gave to me last time, and that's not very original. It'll always be different. So he does that. So he had a great response. Tons of people were there, and he'll have pictures on Facebook as well. But that's what I did on Saturday, and I always thought that was it's always interesting because each time I do these events, I'm less and less impressed by celebrity than I was time before. So I'm kind of getting really desensitized to it. Not that. And I think it's because all of the people that I get a chance to meet legitimately, they're really nice people. I don't think it's an act. I think, you know, they're people like you and I. They're putting their pants on one leg at a time. And, you know, they got bills to pay. They got kids to take to soccer practice. They've got to memorize, you know, what they do. That's memorization and acting. That's their job. They've got that they need to work on, just like, you know, I write after the show each night, you know, just like after the show tonight, I'll be writing in the book, and we'll be having volume one out sometime in April. So, you know, the things that you do and that you take for granted, you're really good at, counting or waitressing or lawyering or doctoring or whatever, well, that's just the same for them. And so I love the fact that the folks that I'm running into, just normal people. I just happen to act on a hit TV show and get paid lots of money. But I'm just here for, you know, I'm here to support the cause and do these things. And a lot of them will have a charity that's attached to them. But so if you see these big, fancy, you know, gifting suite things that you see on TV, the big bags that you're seeing on like TMZ or Entertainment Tonight or The Insider, any of those shows that you say, oh, well, and I'm picking on Gwyneth Paltrow. I don't know. I think it's because Arthur and I were talking about, you know, her being attached to one of his projects earlier. But, you know, the big gift bag that Gwyneth goes home with from the Oscars valued at $250,000, you know, with the this and then that and the other thing, that's just ridiculous. I would love to be part of that one, but I'm not connected to that. But what we were at was totally, totally fun. We had lots of people there. I met Jerry Mathers who played Leave It to Beaver. I met Christopher Atkins again, who was, of course, on The Blue Lagoon, but I remember mostly for being on Dallas, and, you know, he was that young love of Sue Ellen. He was there. Now, the big, you know, because I'm doing the music thing now, the big thing for me that I thought was just really, really cool, and I'm so glad that he's around, is Mr. Leif Garrett was there. And, of course, you remember him from the 70s and early 80s, all of his rock music that he had. And so we posed for a picture, and, you know, I didn't say anything to him. I just said, can we grab a picture? And he said, yeah, sure, whatever. And he goes, and what's your name, Garrett? And he goes, and I said, Garrett. And he goes, no way. So the little hashtag I'm using is Leif Garrett Miller. So if you want to go take a look at that, that's up on Facebook. You can go and, of course, like and leave a comment. So that's, and it sounds silly because now I'm just like everybody else, but it's true. There are some people you're like, I really am thrilled to meet you. Out of the millions of people you'll ever meet, we'll probably never meet again. But for the sake of this little photo opportunity, I'm really grateful for that. So that was fun. I did that on Saturday and was, you know, just kind of crazy with all of the traffic that was getting in and out of the area. You know, one of the things about Southern California that always, and it still amazes me, and I've lived here six years, is that the way traffic is routed and the number of the sheer volume of people that go in and out of a particular area. And of course, going up to like Hollywood and Vine, Hollywood and Highland, you know, where a lot of the activities are going on, you know, the traffic is either, you know, blocked off on certain streets or it's rerouted and sane on how to get in or out of places. And it's, you know, if you've ever gone to, you know, like a big major football game or a major concert, and, you know, you've got hours that you sit in a parking lot waiting to get out, well, that's like, you know, being on a surface street in Los Angeles or even on the freeway. You know, getting out of there yesterday, I thought, I'm finally out of here. It's about, you know, 3:30, quarter to four. I'll just hit the freeway real quick and I'll be home. It took me an hour and 45 minutes to go about 43 miles yesterday. And that was on a non-rush hour, non-crazy day, but that's just the speed of traffic. That was yesterday. anyway. I love Southern California. It's 75 degrees here today, and it is absolutely a gorgeous day. So there's no complaining. It's just there are observations about what was going on. And it's always interesting what happens here in the crazy land of Hollywood. Don't forget, today at 7 o'clock, we've got the Child of the 70s Season 4 series premiere at Pump Restaurant in West Hollywood. Tickets are available and they're free tickets. You don't even have to pay money to go, but they just want to get an idea for headcount. You go to the Child of the 70s Season 4 premiere on Facebook, and it will list where do you go get your tickets on. I think it's Ebrite or Eventsbrite or something like that.com. And you get your tickets on the list. Do that. You'll get a chance to hang out with series star Michael Vaccaro, Terry Ray, Ann Walker, all of the fantastic people that are attached to that. However, before that, here's my last little promo. We're going to play a little gay wedding to round out the show, by the way. I'm going to be the guest today. So somebody's going to talk to me for 2 hours. I have no idea how we're going to do this, but it's going to happen, and it's going to be totally fun. I'll be on Scott Fullerton's show called Left Up Straight on the UBN network, and that's ubnradio.com. I believe I'll have a link up on my Facebook page. It's going to be a video chat, so you're going to see me. I'm going as Blonde Jesus today. So I'm going to be in my white outfit. The hair is going to be, you know, looking all the way it needs to, and I'm going to have the sunglasses on. We're going to be in the studio, so if you want to see me live taking questions from Scott and presumably some callers, you'll have the chance to do that at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Scott Fullerton's Left Up Straight broadcast, and I encourage you to go do that. With that, my friends, just a real quick reminder, on Tuesday we've got Claudia Witsett. Her book is called Between the Lines. We're going to be talking about that. Wednesday, Greg Fox is going to be talking about his comic book called Kyle's Bed and Breakfast. Of course, Rob Watson joins me on LGBT Radio on Thursday, welcoming Greg Archer and Mel England. And then Friday, we have the Friday Night Dance Party at 7 p.m. with Ida Lee. Show note. Paul and Mass. You know Paul and Mass from the Frank DeCaro Show on Sirius OutQ. He's one of the longtime callers. He would call in and give Frank a hard time. We're doing a new weekly Saturday show at 8 a.m. Pacific time. I can't believe we're doing it this early, but we are. We're going to do a 12-week trial. A trial means that we're committing to do this, and if people like it, we'll keep doing it. But if they don't, then we're going to stop. There's your, you know, that's a little inside information. But we're going to be doing Super Gay Radio Presents Paul and Mass. And it's going to be a talk show. We're going to have just Paul and I shooting the breeze, talking about various stuff. We may have some guests on the line that with some familiar names. That's a hint. If you want to tune in to any of the broadcasts, we've done two shows already. We've done a Saturday show and a Sunday show, and the numbers for that are off the chart. So we thought, well, let's keep doing it. We're having fun, and the time flies by. So you can join me on Saturday morning. That's March 5th at 8 o'clock in the morning for an hour of witty banter. That is true. It is absolutely coming your way. If you like the show, follow the show and just click the button right here on Blog Talk Radio for Rated G Radio. You can also download the show as a podcast on Apple's iTunes. We'll see you live on Tuesday night with author Claudia Witsett. Have a great day and don't drive distracted.
Second to no one. Mister, our time has come. Hey, Mister, marry your true love. Hey, Mister, hot bun. If I not say to start again, if I not say for a gay wedding. Hey, sister, now you have the right.
love. Hey, sister.
You've been listening to
Rated G Radio.